Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I am back. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining this week as always is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. It's glad to have you back, Jimbo. I know you have your, you're on IR or was it your bye week? We'll just call it your bye week.
A little bit of both. That sounds better. Before I begin, shouts out again and thank you to Gumpo Fisher for holding on the fort last week. Very much appreciated. And thank you, Randy, for organizing all of that last minute. Really appreciate, the effort you put into maintaining the integrity of the Gym Podcast.
We're a very professional production here, and I couldn't let the fans down.
Right, exactly. That's how it is. And speaking of letting people down, I know that's like a segue for this week, but I felt like this was kind of almost a chaos week. Like the first half was, you know what I mean?
I think this week was great, personally.
No bias or anything going on here. we had a number of upsets, a number of big games we need to talk about. Randy, it seems like you want to discuss Alabama's return to the top of college football.
I'll go ahead and get it out of the way.
All right.
Yeah, this was definitely peak Alabama, joyless murder boss, joyless for everybody except us. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't want to sound like one of those, you know, those influencers that are like those fake alpha males on YouTube that want to be like, I just wish you could all have a Rolex to know what it feels like.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a moment like that.
No.
But I cannot think of I can't think of how to express this without almost doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically to say, I hope you can all once in your life just experience the joy and pure pleasure of like going into what's considered the most hostile environment of college football. Everybody has already counted you out. I know we're kind of Georgia-ing it in that statement.
Yeah.
Pete, we were getting trashed. We had a lot of shit talk thrown our way. Wow. I know I never cuss on this show, but I felt like I had to throw it out there.
We need to get an edit or something in here. We're unedited though. We're unedited. But yeah,
we're unedited, unfiltered. That's what the intro says, right?
Yeah.
But where was I going with that? It is the best feeling in the world to just completely silence that crowd from the first drive. And then the crowd never was into it after that. Just completely silenced them. The fog, the rain. And then just in the middle of the fourth quarter, they showed an overhead shot of just a completely empty Tiger Stadium. Mm-hmm. And it was only our fans left in there. And this is considered the most hostile environment of college football.
Overrated.
Electric one.
Yeah.
They're rowdy. Don't get me wrong. They're rowdy, but they're honestly not much more rowdy than like Alabama is when we're playing a serious game or Georgia is when they're playing a serious game. Right. I mean, just to be real with you, their fans are just generally rowdy. Texas A&M is one of the toughest places to play, to be honest with you.
I was thinking of A&M. Just in terms of the sheer size and volume, I imagine that probably wins. I have no doubt.
They're a very organized rowdy.
Yeah. I have no doubt that Death Valley is a scary place to play when LSU is really good. But this year, I don't know, man. Like, looking back at LSU, they did have a good win against Ole Miss. But other than that, like, who have they beat? I don't know. Like, they lost to USC, they lost to A&M, they lost to you guys now. Their season's effectively
over.
They're
not
going to the
playoffs. Great team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really just not a great team, and that's why I'm not going to be... I'm more happy about the storylines around the win, and how we won, and how we looked, more than the quality of opponent. Because let's just be honest here. LSU has a weak defense, mediocre quarterback who they rely on, weak running game.
Week.
I mean, what kind of team do you have with all those pieces? Yeah, they have talent, but it's just not really come together. So I can't be too thrilled in that respect. But to see us, what really made me most happy was just to see us play well on the road and actually lean into the things that we have been screaming for us to lean into
the
past 2 months.
Run the dang ball. Is that what I'm hearing? I saw Jalen Miller was running the ball. I mean, why not just run it every play with him? That's kind of how I'm looking at this.
He's kind of, he avoided taking big hits. We can tell we're trying to make sure he doesn't get hit too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're running it with our running backs. Our running backs are running well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bam had 311 yards on 48 carries, 6.5 yard averages per run. I mean, that's hard to beat, period. I don't care who you are. I mean, that's dominant.
Oh, yeah.
That's dominant. So Bama's good. Sad to say. Bama's making the playoffs. As a hater, I'm sad, but I get it. Like, honestly, we're kind of at the point of the season now where, like, that top 12 is getting, it's getting kind of clear, you know? It's sort of clear who the legit teams are, and who the pretenders are. And one pretender, I'm going to call him out this weekend, dude. I think Georgia might be a pretender.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely a pretender.
Will you agree?
Ole Miss is a better team than them. This is a lot of years and years past with Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss teams, and I've kind of touched on this subject a little bit before, where they were kind of like, they had an offense, but they were kind of gimmicky, this and that. They didn't really have the physical players they needed to really compete.
Right.
They are now getting those players, and it takes a long time. I'll say it, you can very quickly get a hapless program to be consistently 9 or 10 wins, but it takes much longer to go from a 9 or 10 win program to competing for championships. Like, it takes probably 10 times as long to be able to do that.
Right.
And you're slowly seeing him get the pieces necessary to be able to do that. And you're seeing it come to fruition with this. Now, granted, Carson Beck has thrown the most interceptions in the SEC. That aside, it's still an 18-point win. And I mean, hey, Carson Beck threw 3 interceptions and 0 touchdowns and blew out Texas away. So
I think it's just what's interesting about this game is, unlike the Bama game, like Ole Miss, it was never, ever in jeopardy. Like, Ole Miss just, like, they completely shut down Georgia's offense, like, the entire game, which really surprised me because I didn't think Ole Miss would be that physical. But, again, like, the physicality from them was just, like, totally kind of out of left field, and I loved what I was seeing.
I'd love to see that, too. I mean, we have a lot of parity in college football this year.
Yeah.
And something I kind of want to bring up as we continue to talk about the teams that we see, you know, I think what's really going to be looked at by the committee as they select from these teams, there's going to be some 2-loss, maybe 3-loss teams they're having to choose from. Whether they might be having to make decisions between the 2- or 3-loss SEC team, multiple 2- and 3-loss SEC teams versus maybe a number 2 conference runner-up in, like, the Big 12 or ACC or something. And I think what they're going to look at is the quality of their best wins and what their ceiling just looks like based on vibe.
I agree. And I think the difference really between, like, say, a top-tier SEC team versus, like, a top-tier Big 12 team is that physicality. Like, just pound for pound, like, these offensive lines, these defensive lines are so much bigger, so much more physical than anything you're going to find at transition here. Miami, who went down this weekend against Georgia Tech. I called it, Randy. The first episode where I don't talk about Miami, they're going to lose. And I wasn't in last week, and they lost. So
how about them Jackets?
How about them? Yep. Mother freaking. But we got to talk about the copy pasta, by the way. You wrote that, right? You penned
I did
original?
Write that. I was when it came up. I'd love to see it take on a life of its own.
It has. It's
I mean, so the whole time. Point, the whole point of how about them Jackets?
Yeah.
Buzz, was to make fun of Georgia fans and how they bark at children.
Oh my
but
God.
The Georgia Tech version as the rival.
That's funny. I didn't
see how ridiculous it sounds to
have.
Yeah.
Dude,
like, it looks like a meme, but it's what Georgia fans actually do.
They literally bark. Man. But, like, what? I don't know what sound the Badger makes. It's probably like a really high pitched, like, or something like that.
Like a little bit of a squeal.
I don't know. You could do like a tide sound, like a.
I don't think we really have badgers in Alabama, but I know we have. I think we have gophers. Yeah, we have gophers.
I kill them.
Sorry.
Kill them. But yeah, Miami, man, I Scam Ward. Sad to say, he had his opportunity for a Heisman moment, and then he fumbled it. He literally dropped the ball.
He fumbled the bag on it. I really think that takes him out of the Heisman race.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I mean, he has amazing stats, but we've talked about this before. You've got to have that moment. And if nobody else has a real pop out moment, he might win it by default. I mean, 32 touchdowns and 6 interceptions on the season. If he can get him to the playoff, he might be fine.
I mean, that's the thing. Do you think Miami, as of this recording, the playoff rankings haven't come out yet for this week, but do you think Miami still has a chance at the playoffs? I mean, obviously, they could win out, right? Well, can they, though? Because they're in third place in the ACC. Folks.
Look it up. Three-way tie between SMU, Clemson, and Miami right now. SMU is first, undefeated in the conference.
Yeah.
Clemson and Miami are tied for second and do not play each other.
Interesting. How does that? I wonder how the tiebreaker works. In that case,
I don't know. They might, if they default to overall record, then it's going to be Miami in that situation. But they have no room for error. Plus, Clemson does play South Carolina, but that's also not a conference game.
It's not a guaranteed win, for sure. Interesting.
But it's also not a conference game. I don't know how that would be counted.
Dude, how is SMU 8-1. Like, what is going on here? I see they haven't played anyone, but wow. This is ACC privilege, dude. I'm looking at their schedule this year. Their one ranked opponent at Louisville. Come on.
They played Pitt.
They played BYU, I guess. I don't know, man. It's just not, like if Bama played the schedule, come on. Like, you'd be...
No, I agree, because it's like, there's not that many bad teams on the schedule, but there's not any pop-out great teams on the schedule. And that's what the committee is going to be looking for. Yeah.
There's not, like, a true playoff team here. I say true because BYU, sad to say, is probably making the playoffs, but they're just going to get... Come on.
They lack the physicality. You see a lower ceiling with them just because they lack the physicality. And the fact that, I guess they don't technically have to only recruit Mormons. They got a Jewish quarterback, right?
Shouts out.
Shouts out. All right.
But, I mean, BYU, I just don't. That program has never sat right with me. And I'll leave it at that.
I know what you mean.
I'll leave it at that. One final game, I guess I wanted. Well, there's two actually, real quick here. We got to talk about 10 Windiana. I mean...
Yeah,
I guess we have to talk about Indiana. What do you think,
man?
Do
you think they're a lock for the playoffs at this point?
The thing is, they're it's like they're hanging on for dear life. And this game next week is going to be extremely telling. They're obviously not going to beat Ohio State. Like, that's obvious. But the question is, can they keep it close? Like, if Indiana loses, let's say, in the same way that Penn State lost, right? Like, let's say, like, you know, a one-score game late in the fourth quarter, like, Indiana's a chance, just can't, you know, get it through. If that happens, then I think Indiana actually has a chance at making the playoffs. Because the committee then sees, okay, here's Indiana against a really, really, really talented and physical Ohio State team, and they at least tried. You know, they at least came close. Right, and so I think this is one of the bigger games to watch this weekend regarding playoff contention in the Big Ten.
Absolutely. I really think at this point they're a lock. As long as they don't get blown out by Ohio State, I think they're a lock. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that their last game is versus a 1-8 Purdue team.
They can run it up there. But then they got to play the Big Ten championship probably, right? I guess it depends.
No,
right?
They wouldn't, because Ohio State only has one loss in conference.
Unless Ohio State loses to Michigan again. No one's.
Well, that's very much
talking
possibility.
About this.
But
Michigan's
then they would
bought.
Still be. Yeah, they're still the Penn State's still one loss. So
yeah, it'll be interesting, for sure. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it because, like, honestly, at this point, you know, we make fun of a lot of teams here, like BYU. But I kind of want to see Indiana do well. You know what I mean, man? It's like this program kind of deserves just like a little bit of a win at this point.
I completely agree, because they actually play these really tough teams year in, year out, and they have to compete against this. So to see them compete against the schedule and start to have some success, it feels good.
Yeah, for sure. And I've never, I mean, we all know Posty, you know, I've never really had a toxic experience with Indiana fans beyond him. And so, I don't know. It's like they definitely conduct themselves well, just in general. Like, you can tell with like the 10 Windiana stuff, like they're just happy to be here. You know.
Exactly. I'm going to give a comparison here.
Please.
Compare how Indiana fans have handled success to how Iowa State fans have handled success.
Insane. Night and day. Night and day. Come on.
I just know Iowa State fans, they do not handle it well because they get like overly cocky and defensive.
For sure.
But then on the same token, completely melt down in rage when they finally lose. It's like, come on, dude.
It's sad, folks.
You're Iowa State. I hate trash talking them.
No, I don't.
Like, I feel bad punching down, but.
We're punching up, if anything. No, I've never respected Iowa State. I've never respected Iowa, the whole state of it, really. I mean, they're kind of our rivals, so. You know, I'm kind of obligated. One other game that I want to talk about, and you know, there might be more that you want to discuss, but did you see Notre Dame utterly pants Florida State this weekend?
I saw parts of it. The wheels have fallen off of Florida State. I get that they can fall short of expectations from, you know, last year. They had all this other stuff. It was disappointing, etc. But to go 1-9, I mean, is this one of those things to where this completely derails Mike Norvell's entire tenure? Like, are they just going to be able to pretend this year doesn't exist, or is this going to affect the program?
I don't know how you can.
Future,
like,
years?
There's, you know, there are examples of coaches who just like had historically bad seasons and then went on to do well. I think back to, you know, Jim Harbaugh in 2020, Michigan was a disaster. And then, you know, well, they started cheating and we all what happened there. But I think with Mike Norvell, dude, it's like that luster, that sheen is very much gone. And I think you as a Bama fan have to be just thanking your lucky stars that he did not answer the call this time 9 months ago or whatever.
Yes, I am very thankful. And I remember a lot of people saying, look at our players go to Florida State and kind of using that as a trash talk book. And we tried to warn people. Like, just so y'all know, these were not our starters. These were all getting passed up for playing time. Right. Yeah, they got playing time. Some were technically starters, but we were not sad to lose them. I'll just say that. You know how it is.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, just like Florida State still has a ton of talent. And like, yeah, it makes sense that they'd lose to Notre Dame or Miami or Clemson, but just, man, looking back their season, Boston College, Memphis.
There's no excuse to go 1-9. Like, to be fair, they actually played a pretty tough schedule for an ACC team. They have the premier, the schedule an ACC team would need to have.
Isn't that crazy?
To be considered, you know, just the same name as SEC teams. Because I guess they have their whole falling out with the ACC. They're really trying to get out and they hate it there.
Yeah.
But criticize them heavily for that, and they shouldn't be having that attitude. They should build the ACC up. They should build up the conference, make the teams around them better. And they have a, I mean, it's not technically a protected rivalry, but they're going to continue to play the rivalry with Florida. Mm-hmm. They have the rivalry with Miami.
Yeah.
I think they still, they play Notre Dame every year.
Yeah.
They play Clemson every year.
Yeah.
These are great rivalries, and they just trash it all. Like, here's the thing. It's going to be hard to recruit players to your school when all you do is talk trash about the schedule that you play and talk trash about the conference you play in and act like what you do doesn't matter and, you know, this and that. And you just, you're basically talking up the SEC. You're basically telling potential recruits, yeah, don't come here. Go to the SEC.
Yeah, 100%. I think that about wraps it up for recaps.
Wait. I got one.
You got one more? Let's go for it. What do we got?
Actually, I've got two more, but I'm going to start with Colorado, 7-2, controlling their own destiny. I called it in the preseason.
I hate it.
Beating Texas Tech by 2 touchdowns.
I hate it.
Texas Tech, a good, decent Texas Tech team.
Come on. It's Texas Tech.
They're an okay Texas Tech team. I'm going to give Colorado this credit. I wanted to give Colorado some credit because for all intents and purposes, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, got a lot of flack early in the season, as did Shedeur Sanders for some of the comments they've made. And deservedly so. They needed to get that flack. But since they've made those comments, they've really just shut up, put in the work, try to take some responsibility, turn around the culture, and to be able to turn around what was a losing season, an embarrassing loss, and get to the point that they're at now where they control their own destiny and quietly 7-2. I think it speaks to the fact that Deion and Shedeur have both, one, learned as a coach, and Shedeur is kind of maturing a little bit. And I think, I mean, people should be happy that they're learning from their mistakes.
Randy.
There are so many more worse coaches that have done way worse things than be allowed now. That people just ignore.
That's the thing. No one can ignore Deion. Though it is kind of ironic. I feel like now that Colorado's winning, people are kind of not actually talking about them anymore. You know what I mean? It's like the media circus was in full swing when they were losing every game last year. But now it's like, I'll be honest, dude. I have not watched one Colorado game this year. And I choose to not watch Colorado. It's a choice.
So they do play, they close out the season with Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State, which, I mean, you know, they can win all those games.
You know. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I think that, I think they'll probably make the playoffs. And that really bums me. Because I don't see BYU being a threat to them, you know. I don't see Utah.
I just think it would be funny. It would be hilarious to watch them.
Because, like, they would get destroyed for sure, right? Like, if they played Georgia or something, like...
No, but here, think about it, though. They're going to probably play... What seed do you think they would get? Maybe, like, 9, 10 seed?
Like, 11.
11 seed? And they would play what? Maybe, like, the runner-up of
probably
the Big Ten?
Like, Ohio State? Yeah, come on. Like, come on.
Okay.
Come on.
I just think it would be funny if they played like Liberty or something in the first round, got that win.
Just keep like playing nobody the whole season. That's their game.
But I'm saying the hype train would be in such full effect with the most giant circus you've ever seen, media circus you've ever seen.
You know, due to the rules of having five conference champions guaranteed in, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but we kind of need to discuss 21 ranked Washington State. What's the deal?
The Pac-12 doesn't get it.
Okay.
I already looked into it.
All right. No,
I did want to make a note about conference championship games and my opinion on it, but because I'm starting to see something.
Yeah.
But does it not seem like that? Like, let's look at a team like Alabama. Would it not seem like almost like a punishment to make our conference championship game at this point?
Oh my
god. It would hurt us. If we win it, we get a bye week and avoid playing Liberty or something.
Suffering from success over here.
I'm serious though. It's almost like we don't want to make the SEC championship. And also it's such a mess at second place because we're in a situation where we're seeing 6-8 2-loss SEC team.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like,
it's crazy.
Okay, is there really a runner-up? I mean...
Yeah, it's... Man, the playoffs are going to be a mess this year because of this. Like, the SEC needs some losses, dude, to clear this up ASAP, you know?
I think if anything, we need to do away with conference championship games or something. Something needs to change on that front.
Yeah.
Just because that's not a good system to where teams are punished for making the conference championship game. That the playoff... I think if we lost the SEC championship game, you know, I don't think we would miss the playoffs for that.
No.
But it's still like a beating our players have to take.
I get that.
Physically.
I think that like the whole conference champion gets in automatically made a lot more sense before conference realignment. But now that we have conference realignment and like the Pac-12 is dead, it's just like, I don't know, man. This is kind of weird now. It's like 2 years though, right? We have 2 years of this and then they're going to mix it up again, right?
So, which is probably a good thing. I think that's a very good thing that they're going to be willing to kind of get some feedback and
change the format, but not the 12 teams. I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but I don't want more than 12. I think 12 is a good enough number, you know? Anyways, we'll save that for the offseason, I guess. any other games, Randy, or should we move on to perhaps next week's preview?
Yeah, I am ready for next week.
I do see we have a couple of reminders here. You know, we take notes. We're very, you know, organized here. Did you want to discuss this, Randy? Your thoughts on, let's talk about storming the field. Indiana did not storm the field after beating Michigan.
I remember watching the clock tick down to zero, and I was like, oh, they're about to storm the field. And I even had like a comment ready, like, oh my goodness, they're releasing live Hoosiers onto the field. And then it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I guess, okay, good for you, Indiana. You're not storming the field.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I was impressed by them not storming the field. Compare that to Ole Miss's disaster of a field storm where they completely stormed the field when there were still 16 seconds left.
Yeah.
And they had to get them all off the field, and it was hilarious.
That was, dude, I get it. I get why they stormed it. But to see their fans do that, dude, I thought it meant more. That's all I'm going to say, Randy. I really thought it meant more. There, but
I understand Ole Miss doing it because I mean it signifies them beating the Giant and showing that they can actually keep up physically, which like it shows that they've kind of raised the ceiling a bit for them. I get it. It's the field storm is more than about the individual win itself.
Yeah. One other like note that I had written here before we move on, we got to talk about Gary. From is it NBC? Gary, CBS?
No, CBS. CBS.
He was commentating on the Michigan-Indiana game. And the thing is, man, like, I've never really cared one way or another for Gary. Like, I've always been kind of indifferent. But the reality is, like, in years past, he just commented on every Alabama game. Right? He never did anything else. And so, like, I didn't like watching a lot of Alabama blowouts. Like, whatever, Bama wins 52-0. Like, I'm not going to watch that. Right? But now that he's doing the Big Ten... I have been watching games where Gary commentates, including Wisconsin games. And Randy, I think I owe you an apology. I cannot believe how bad Gary is as a commentator. They need to remove him, I think, from the booth at this point.
See, the worst is whenever he's commentating on your game and you like make a game, a potentially game losing play. And he'll do this thing where he'll like give his opinion on it. And you're like, okay, Gary, I get it. But then like every 10 seconds after every play for the next 10 plays, he'll go back to it and keep hammering the point and in slow motion, keep pointing
And
at
that's what
certain
happens
things,
when
and
you
then
can do a face
rewind,
mask
fast
on
forward,
third down. Yeah, it's just like, dude, shut up. Like he just, oh my God.
Please stop, stop. Just move on. Please, Gary.
So I mean,
and then he'll want to go on. Like he actually does say intelligent things sometimes. It has some good analysis, but then he'll just try too hard to force it in situations where you just have to let the moment be the moment.
Right. Less is more often than not when it comes to like commentating big moments. You know, my favorite highlights oftentimes are accompanied by like a great commentary. Like it kind of adds, you know, it's like a back and forth, give and take kind of thing. And my favorite commentary when something big happens is when they're just like, touchdown! And like it just cuts to the crowd going, ah! It's just like, you just enjoy the crowd. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Enjoy the crowd. I think it was Kirk Herbstreit whoever was commentating the Alabama LSU game, at one point while they were running onto the field, it was, you know what, I'm just going to be quiet and soak this in. And that's what they did. They didn't say anything. And a lot of the SEC and ABC games, I love ABC's production quality. And to be fair, CBS has decent production quality, especially compared to NBC.
Yeah.
They're very good at just, whenever there's huge crowd noise and the band is playing, they just shut up and let us experience that on our TV. And I love it so much. It really helps you kind of soak in the vibe of what college football is about.
Yeah.
What I find, I hate the NBC games because I feel like it's like NBC, the people who like direct the games or whatever, don't watch college football. So they don't understand what sound mixing needs to happen, what again, moments to just have people shut up and what to just let people soak in.
We have gone in on NBC this year, and that is the official stance of the podcast.
Also, plans need to stop trashing the field.
Yeah, man.
LSU fans trashed. We're getting to the point where LSU fans trashed the field over what was an obvious face mask call. I mean, come on. You're getting a little ridiculous at that point.
I do blame Texas for starting this. I mean, I blame the refs in that game for allowing this to happen. It's just... I'm bummed because we called this, dude. We called that this was going to happen. Like, other teams were going to think they can get away with this, right? And thank God it hasn't happened again, but we have seen instances of teams throwing trash onto the field. It's just...
LSU was fined pretty heftily for it, at least.
Good. Good.
Texas is, like, the main reason for the vast majority of problems in college football.
True,
right,
dude.
Now,
conference realignment and TV contracts and...
They literally were the first people to try the conference realignment. They tried it back in, I think, 2009. They wanted to join the PAC, but it fell through at the last second.
Network.
Then they're the ones who initiated the joining the SEC.
Yeah.
They're basically like, we're going to leave the Big 12. You get first dibs. I'm like, well, all right.
It's a disaster, dude. It's a disaster. All right, let's move on. I think we're ready to move on to previewing some games this coming weekend. Randy, can I just like briefly discuss 6:30 p.m. on NBC, our favorite network? Wisconsin plays Oregon. Can you just give it to me straight, man? Do we have a chance?
For the simple fact that it's a home game, I think it gives you a chance.
Okay.
I think you are kind of, you've been looking ahead a little bit during the Iowa game. I think you took that game for granted. You kind of underestimated what you were getting yourselves into. I'll give you a chance because I believe that your team believes in itself and can pick themselves up after a bye week. Oregon, I could also very much see sleepwalking and not being super careful about the game. I mean, here's the thing. Your defensive line has looked a lot better, and Dylan Gabriel is very... He's a system quarterback. He's a game manager.
Yeah, he is.
If you can get some pressure on him, maybe you can do something. But on the same token, him being a game manager and still then having this team might also hurt you.
Right.
Just for the simple fact that even if you get to and mess with them, it doesn't mean anything.
I just hate Oregon so much, dude. I think they're so fraudulent. Like, they don't like the Big Ten. I don't like them. Like, it's just wrong, dude. So, like, I so desperately want to take them down this Saturday night, but I don't know.
Wisconsin is making decent enough strides. I mean, you have to give Luke Fickell a little bit of time, but I think it's going to be a really good measuring stick kind of game.
Yeah.
And I think he knows that. The team knows that.
I hope so.
They're really going to be motivated, and they're going to give, throw everything they have at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you play at Nebraska and Minnesota last two games of the season, and I think those are very winnable.
We better, man. If we don't get the bowl streak alive, if we end up going 5-7, I'm going to be just devastated. Just devastated.
You have the longest active bowl streak in college
football. It's true. Hey, knock on wood. Knock on wood. A game I want to talk about beyond this, 11 a.m. Clemson at Pittsburgh. This potentially has some ACC championship implications here, given that both teams only have one or two losses in conference. Do you think Clemson's good? Like, is Clemson going to win this one, Randy?
Well, when you say, is Clemson good? Like, that's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
I think they win this game. I don't think they're good.
Because the thing is, Clemson is in a position where, like, they could win the ACC. Like, if they win out there in the ACC championship game, and they could make the playoffs.
Essentially.
Do you think there's a chance? Or is it just, is Pitt going
to
finally
put If Clemson in? Goes to the playoffs, they're going to lose very fast. I mean, they got dominated 34-3 by Georgia, and Georgia is very weak.
Georgia sucks this year, and Clemson lost to Louisville. Pretty embarrassing loss. Man, honestly, look at Clemson. Guys, do yourself a favor. Go to ESPN, look up Clemson. Who have they played?
North Carolina State.
Whom?
Florida State.
Wake Forest. I don't...
Virginia Tech.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they played nobody.
They're not. Yeah, I take it all back.
All the teams with the Colts they played, they've lost to. So.
It's crazy. It's an embarrassment.
But South Carolina might actually be the second toughest team in their schedule. I think they are.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Just like a random like mid SEC team is like significantly harder than any ACC opponent they face this year. Just crazy, dude.
Yeah,
just crazy. Other games, Randy? I know there's plenty. You like to generally go through and talk about the previews, though.
Yeah, Utah's 4-5, almost beat BYU, who's undefeated, and they play at Colorado 7-2 at 11 a.m. I think this is going to be a very interesting game. If Colorado wins this, I believe they've pretty much locked up the Big 12. They would have two more Big 12 games remaining, but like they could literally drop a game and still go to the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, I'm on the ropes because I need Colorado to lose this one. It's a bummer because like heading into this season, I would have told you if I had a bet on this game, I would have said Utah is going to dominate Colorado, no question. But Utah's lost its last five games. Like, what the heck has happened to Utah, dude? They've completely fallen off the rails this season.
Cameron Rising was injured and out for the season.
Scam Rising.
He's going to be an eighth-year senior next year.
Do we think he's coming back? Is that confirmed?
Yeah, he's coming back. He's going to get his medical red shirt and just come back for another year, I guess.
Oh, my God. It's actually, as of today.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know why Utah hasn't moved off of Cam Rising.
They got to move on.
Like,
he's 20.
He had, like, one okay year.
Yeah. Who hasn't? Who hasn't had one okay year in college football? I mean, my God, like, I'm actually reading into this now. Like, today, there have been articles released today discussing the possible return. Utah is apparently mulling it over. Just crazy, dude.
Let him go, man.
Let him go. Another game I want to talk about coming up this week. LSU versus Florida.
Ooh, I was about to bring that one up.
So, I mean, here's the thing, man. Like, Florida is still in a position where they could make a bowl game, which I think no one kind of expected heading into this year. Because they still play Florida State to end the season. That's a guaranteed win. So they really just need to win one of LSU or Ole Miss to get there. Do you think they can beat the Tigers?
Ooh, I think LSU losing to Bama hurts Florida.
Really?
I think they're going to be a little bit more focused. It's one of those types of games where LSU was exposed in the sense that they know exactly where they're weakest at. And Florida, it's almost like the vote of confidence in giving Napier one more year just made them like, okay, we can give up now.
right. Man. I mean...
Do they have a chance? Sure, because it's at the Swamp at 2:30.
I think I'm rooting for Florida. I think think they've been kind of a fun underdog to follow this season in the SEC. You know? But yeah, it'll be interesting, man. I think for me, how I view LSU is that Bama loss is either, like, make or break. Like, they either come out furious because of it, or they just give up. And, like, you know, probably...
I don't think they'll give up. I think Big Game Brian is better about... Big Game Brian can win enough. He'll win these games, but he'll lose all the big ones. That's just fair. Who he is.
That's fair.
He's like the anti-DeBoer.
Yeah. Other games this weekend, Randy. It's a kind of quiet week, unfortunately, isn't it?
See, I think I disagree, because I'm going to give you one. We have Missouri 7-2 at South Carolina 6-3. If we're being honest with ourselves, both these teams are very much still in contention.
Well,
definitely the playoffs. I really believe that. Sure, some things may have to happen, but South Carolina's playing their best football. You know, South Carolina beats Missouri and beats Clemson, it's going to look very good for them. It's going to be a situation maybe of choosing between, like, what, a 9-3 South Carolina with some pretty great wins, to be honest, and maybe a 1 or 2 loss Big 12 ACC PAC runner-up.
Yeah.
Or not PAC, whatever they are, ACC.
I will say, I think at a minimum, this should ACC be a pretty Big 12. This should be a pretty fun game, I think, looking at ESPN. It does look like Missouri is favored by a couple touchdowns, but, like, that doesn't feel right. I feel like South Carolina, despite being unranked, it's like they've punched above their weight this year quite a bit. Like, I mean, we saw how close they kept it against Bama, for example, right? So, I don't know, man. They just beat Vanderbilt by quite a bit. So,
quite a bit, yeah.
As well as A&M. So, I feel like South Carolina is definitely very hot right now. And in contrast, Missouri, I don't know, man.
They look fraudulent. Missouri looks fraudulent, and South Carolina does not. It boils down to that, because it's like South Carolina has that physicality. South Carolina's defensive line is really, really good. One of the top units in the country.
Yeah.
And that physicality is always going to keep you in games. Meanwhile, Missouri, they're just not physical. And that's, you can't play like that. They don't look tough, and you got to be tough.
Got to be tough. Keeping it in the SEC as well. A lot of SEC talk this week, Randy. God's conference. We got to discuss number 7 Tennessee at number 3 Georgia. These rankings will change, by the way, between now and the time this goes live. But Georgia, okay. Do you think Tennessee can pull this one off?
Oh, absolutely. I would favor Tennessee to win.
Think about Bama's relation to all this. It's weird, isn't it? Because, like, Georgia's favored by 9 right now. But then you think about the transitive, really? Like, win and loss over Bama with all of this, and you kind of think of, like, on paper, Georgia is a really, really good team. But Tennessee this year, man, it's just, like South Carolina, it feels like they're punching above their weight, doesn't it? Like, they definitely have a chance.
In a way, yes. Yeah. I say I would favor Tennessee, but I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. I could very much see Georgia using this loss as a way to regroup, get themselves together. Maybe Carson Beck is going to change some things up this week in practice and kind of, you know what I mean? Maybe it took a loss for him to really see what's going wrong and see all the things go wrong to actually clean it up a lot. If he could just clean it up and not actively lose his team games, I really believe in him. Meanwhile, Tennessee has needed a lot of things to go right. Let's just be honest here.
Okay.
They had a home game, and they had a super loud, hostile crowd environment, and DeBoer's first real SEC road game where he didn't know what to expect as far as all that goes. And Milroe playing the worst game of his career them to win by a touchdown.
Jeez. Just brutal. Well, hey, for what it's worth, man.
They barely beat Florida. They barely beat Kentucky. They didn't have the best game against Mississippi State. They barely beat Oklahoma.
Carson Beck's not really
Arkansas.
Doing great this year, man. Like, honestly, like, he's not... I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. And I know I'm biased, but 17 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
And that's all he needs to be.
Yeah.
No, so Carson Beck has literally thrown the most interceptions in the SEC.
Man. Yeah, it's time to put that dog down. Give me the Vols, dude. Give me the Vols.
I don't want Tennessee to win.
No.
But Georgia's probably going to. I would actually pick Georgia in this game.
All right. Hey.
I mean, it's weird because I don't know what Tennessee's ceiling really is, because it took us playing at our floor for them to barely beat us playing at what seemed to be their ceiling.
That's fair. Well, it'll be definitely a very good test for both teams, I think, to kind of gauge, okay, which one of these two teams is probably making the playoffs. This, like, this is an elimination game, as far as I'm concerned. So,
I mean, do you think Tennessee's only 8-1? Do you think they're out with a loss?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know we keep talking about what if this like 9-3 SEC team makes it, and like I'm sure the committee will put in plenty of SEC teams, but there's only 12 spots, man. Like, there's not that much room to work with here.
Very true, very true. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to have to get left out. It kind of bothers me because I feel like there are like probably going to be some 3-loss SEC teams that may be better than some of the 2-loss SEC teams. Like, let's face it, South Carolina at 6-3 is better than Missouri at 7-2.
Yeah.
But it seems like by virtue of being on the same conference and Missouri being 7-2, they'd have to put in Missouri if they had to put in somebody.
Yeah, that's just, you know, how the math works out with these 12 teams, I guess.
Yep.
Any other games this weekend, Randy, that tickle your fancy?
I'm going to be very interested to watch at 6 p.m. Arizona State at 7-2 versus at Kansas State, also 7-2. Both have 2 losses in conference. It's one of those games that, depending on how some other things go, could you never know which of these teams could sneak into the Big 12 championship game, right? And then who knows?
Just seems like a fun one to have, like, on the back burner if Tennessee or Georgia gets blown out. You know what I mean?
And like, part of it is Arizona State plays at BYU next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying some things can happen.
Could happen.
Or they play BYU at home next week, actually.
Oh, interesting. I just realized I'm going to be at Camp Randall at night, so I won't be able to watch the Georgia-Tennessee game, unfortunately. But, you know, hopefully that game is way more exciting than ours, and no one watches Wisconsin get destroyed, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Everybody's going to watch it because, I mean, people think you can do it.
I don't know, man.
People want to see you do it.
I get that. I mean, everyone wants to see number one go down. Like, everyone wants to see Oregon lose, but I don't know. Would be pretty cool. That's all I'll say. Anything else, Randy, or should we probably wrap up here?
Okay, if you lost to Oregon, what would you need to see to make you feel good?
I would need us to destroy Nebraska. Oh, we got to win out. Like, at this point, all I care about is the bowl streak and beating Minnesota. I want to have a winning
season. I mean specifically in the Oregon game. What in the Oregon? Is there a moral victory to be had in the Oregon
only
game?
The only way we have a moral victory is if it's within one touchdown. Anything more than that, I don't care. I don't want to, you know, even a 14-point loss, I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to keep it close and then have them kind of pull away at the end. It's kind of like what Penn State did.
Exactly. I want it to, like, actually be close for a full 4 quarters, you know? Because that's been Fickell's problem, is he'll keep it close for, like, 3 quarters, and then we completely fall apart at the end. Like, I want to see us not fall apart and, like, actually finish strong and at least keep it respectable. Like, at least make people be like, whoa, Oregon, what happened there? You know what I mean? Like, that's a moral victory for Wisconsin.
Okay. I got you.
So, we'll see. We'll see. Randy?
That's all the games I had.
I think that's going to about do it here. Thank you again, man, for, you know, doing this. It's a fun time.
It's a fun time. Might as well get to talk about football for an hour once a week.
That's true. Just boys being boys. And I'm looking forward to watching football for many hours this weekend. I hope you all join me. Thank you once again, folks, for listening to the podcast. As always, Roll Tide!
On the front.